Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 11 together, and we'll turn to one other verse in the book of Revelation in just a moment here. Revelation, chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Revelation 4, 4 through 11. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive an honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now turn to the book of Revelation chapter 17, just a few pages over. Revelation chapter 17, we're going to read verse 14 together. And we're going to read this in unison. Revelation chapter 17, verse number 14. All right, you ready? Here we go. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint this hour? Would you strengthen me? Would you strengthen your people? May we open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to the Holy Spirit to get what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I am so excited to preach. I just about can't stand it. And I know you can't stand it either. But I have been just consumed with a truth that I believe is going to encourage. I believe it will challenge. And I believe it may even, in some cases, correct some wrong teaching that you've had in the past. Here in Revelation chapter 4, we read something, and a lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelation. I'm not afraid of it. Oh, we're going to show the deep things of God. No, we're going to take what God said at face value and use it. Amen. And I want to show you something today. In this passage, by the way, the Bible is a book that God wrote, not man. Book of Revelation was not written by John. It was written by God. The Bible says it was written before the foundation of the world. John didn't write it. John just was the secretary that used his pen to pen down the words that God gave him word for word. But I want you to notice something you see in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 4. You see it also again in verse number 10. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now look at verse number 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the Lord, saying. Now, look at me. Here are these people in heaven. The Bible says 24 elders, and they take their crowns and cast them at Jesus' feet. Did you catch it? They had crowns. They had crowns. I see an amazing truth in this that may surprise you. These were not just typical subjects of a kingdom. You don't get a crown unless you have achieved leadership. Unless you are royalty, you do not wear a crown. Did you catch it? These aren't just subjects. These are royalty. You see, you will not cast crowns at Jesus' feet until you have been crowned. You must achieve royalty. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 17, verse number 14, and I'm just going to take the middle portion of that, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords. If you look at that, the first word king is capitalized. The second word king is not. The first Lord is capitalized. The second is not. I want you to notice it, and by the way, it's in the present tense. It says, for he is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Now, pay attention with this. That first K is in reference to Jesus. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Watch this. It does not say he is the King of subjects. It does not say he is Lord of followers. It says he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. Now, he cannot be your Lord until you become a Lord. He cannot become your king until you become a king. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Can I tell you why? They looked for their Messiah to come back and establish the kingdom. They were looking for Jesus to become the King of the Jews. That's why when Jesus was crucified, Pilate had written and put on the cross, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." But he did not come to be their king first. He came to be their Savior. They rejected him as Savior because they wanted him to be their king. Did you catch that? Now, wait a minute. Watch this. He cannot be your king until he is first your Savior. He cannot be your Lord until he is first your Savior. Today's sermon is called Savior, Lord, and King. If you will not submit to him as Savior, you will never submit to him as your Lord or King. If you do not make him your Savior, you'll never make him your Lord, because you have no lordship in you. If you do not submit to him as Savior, you will never reach the level of royalty to become a king, to where you can cast crowns at his feet. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 3, that you are saved, for we are not saved by our own righteousness. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May I share something with you? That word submission means to become under the subjection of, or under the rule of, the righteousness of God. That means this: salvation is an act of you being your own Savior, and you being your own King, and you being your own Lord, to saying, I can't get there, I need you. And I will submit myself to your righteousness. At that moment, you get saved. These idiots that say, well, you need to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life to get to heaven. They're wrong. They're wrong. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want to show you something. Hang on. I'm about to have a spell. Matthew chapter 7. Been itching all week to get to this. Verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. You can't see my legs back here, but they're moving like crazy. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, watch this, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice the word kingdom. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from ye that work iniquity. There's a lot of people out there today that says, well, you have to make Jesus Lord of your life to get to heaven. And they are sending people to hell with that doctrine. The Bible says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, we tried to make you Lord. We prophesied, we preached. We did many wonderful things. We even cast out the devils. God, we've done all those things to prove you are Lord. I want you to notice something. And God says to them, depart from me. You're not part of my kingdom. You say, why? Because they never made him Savior. They were trying to make him Lord. And you cannot make him Lord until he becomes your Savior. And I hate to say this, you can't make him Lord until you become a Lord. The Bible says he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Everybody doing okay? The act of salvation is the ability to become a subject in his kingdom. Boy, that's a big statement. If I were to go to England today, which I am not going to do, say why? I have no desire to go there. But if I were to go to England today and take audience with Queen Elizabeth, and I would say, O Queen, you are my queen. She would say, I appreciate that, but I am not your queen. You are not part of my kingdom. And until you become a part of my kingdom, I cannot be your queen. Till you become a citizen of the English Empire, I cannot become your queen. Though I am queen, I cannot be your queen until you become a subject and a citizen of the English kingdom. Now watch this. You can keep all the rules of England. You can do everything an Englishman is supposed to do. Number one, I'm not drinking tea. And I'm sure not eating trumpets or crumpets or whatever they call those things. I'm not going to hold my little finger up and teetotal and whatever they call that stuff. I wouldn't make a good Englishman, amen? But may I say this, I cannot have Queen Elizabeth as my queen until I become a citizen of her kingdom. You can keep all the rules that King Jesus said, but until you become a citizen of heaven, he is not your king. Until you submit yourself to the citizenry of his kingdom, he cannot be your king. By the way, he cannot be your Lord. You say, why? Until you become a Lord, he cannot be your Lord. The Bible says he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. I hate to tell you this, there's going to be people that go to heaven and they have become a citizen of heaven, but they have not reached royalty to where they will cast crowns at Jesus' feet. They are subjects of heaven, but not royalty of heaven. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. By the way, just because he is your Savior, that does not make him Lord. Just because he is your Savior, that does not make him your king. It gives you the availability to have them as that, but it does not make them that. Do you know that only true patriots have patriotism? Do you realize that only a patriot has patriotism? And that doesn't mean that he salutes with a cup of coffee in his hand. These idiots that won't stand at a ball game or somewhere where the national anthem's being played. They are not patriotic because they are not patriots. Say, what would you do? Slap them in the back of the head and say, stand up before I kick you in the seat. Say, you wouldn't do that. Watch me. I've done it. You show me the little boy in this room that has a bunch of baseball cards. The kid that has baseball cards isn't the kid that throws the ball like this. It's the kid that knows how to throw a baseball. He respects baseball because he is playing baseball. Hang on. Only an athlete truly appreciates athleticism. Only someone who runs a business really respects another business owner. Some maggot-infested, lazy bum protesting to work at McDonald's for $15 an hour, who hasn't run a popsicle stand, couldn't sell a hot dog if he was in Ethiopia. Can I tell you something? He has no business to criticize a businessman. Well, I can put French fries in a fryer and push a button and wait till it beeps and turn it off when it goes beep, 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 and I get $15 an hour. And if that man that owns that business, he's not fair. Hello. Listen to this statement. Did you know that millionaires and billionaires are not critical of each other's money? Because they know the level of respect that it takes to reach that level. Do you know that only heroes have heroes? Do you know that only winners really appreciate winners? Oh, let's quit keeping score in Little League because we might offend somebody. Some little boy might cry because he lost a game. Let him cry. Mama, quit pampering them. Society, quit pampering children. That's why we got a society that's afraid to reach anything. We expect everybody to give it to us. And according to the Bible, only one who is crowned can truly respect the one who is crowned. Only one who has been crowned can truly respect one who is crowned. Now, let me help you today with this truth. I don't plan on diminishing Jesus. I plan on lifting him up, just so you know. Number one, get this. God's first will for your life is for you to let him become your Savior. The first thing you have to understand is this. God's will for every human being is for God to be your Savior. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you catch that? God's will is for every human being on the face of the earth to get saved and let Jesus be your Savior. Just because you were born on this ball of dirt that's spinning in space does not mean you're going to heaven. Say, well, what does the word repent mean? Glad you asked. The word repent means this. You are traveling down through life trusting your good works, trusting your church membership, trusting your baptism, trusting that you are a pretty decent person, your own righteousness. One day you come in contact with the gospel that says all men are sinners. By the way, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guess what? There's a penalty on sin. For the wages of sin is death. Proof you're a sinner, you're going to die. That death isn't just your body dying. There's something in it called your spirit. Something inside you that's got to live forever somewhere. Revelation 20 verse 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you die in your trespasses and sins, you will go to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But, I love that, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through your own righteousness. The moment you say, "Whew, I've been trying to do it on my own, and I just realized I can't do it." But Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, shed his blood, died, resurrected, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and he did that for me, and I can trust that to take me to heaven. The moment I do that, my spirit is reborn with the Holy Spirit of God. It becomes eternal, and I have changed direction from trusting self to trusting Jesus Christ. Not only that, I become a citizen of heaven. That is exactly what repentance is. I don't care how good you are. I've met a lot of good people, but you know what? Good people die and go to hell. I've met a lot of decent people. Decent people can die and go to hell. You don't get to heaven by your goodness. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus as your Savior. He must become your Savior first of all. Well, you've got to make him Lord of your life. No, it doesn't say that. There is no place in Scripture where it says you make him Lord of your life. It does say he is Lord of lords. I'll get to that in a minute. Do you realize that all other relationships with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit hinge on that one thing, Jesus as your Savior? Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There is a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus and said, "How do I get to heaven?" By the way, Nicodemus was a rich ruler. He was a politician. Would to God our politicians get saved. Would to God that politician come to a real man of God and let him take the Bible and show him what God said. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." He didn't say, "You need to make me Lord." He didn't say, "I need to be your king." But notice verse number 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that's a physical birth, "and of spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, getting saved, "he cannot enter," what's the next word? "The kingdom of God." Wow. He said, you have to be born physically, then you have to be born spiritually and enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice the word kingdom. Now watch this. All other relationships hinge on Jesus being your Savior. I'm very particular. I listen and read a lot of material. I'm not saying everybody that has used this statement believes what they've said, but when you read a gospel tract that says you must make him Lord and Savior, that is wrong. Everybody doing okay? He is Lord, but you don't make him Lord to be your Savior. He has the ability to become your Lord after he has been your Savior. You must first make him Savior of your life. He has to be your Savior. These idiots that get up and say, "Well, you have to make him Lord of your life." They are the same people preaching the same doctrine that the Jews said and said, "Well, this isn't he because he didn't establish the kingdom." Hello? He didn't come to be the king. He came to be the Savior. So, all other relationships hinge on that first relationship as Jesus the Savior. Now watch this. Number two. There are several crowns we can earn as Christians. I'm gonna mention four or five of these crowns. Listen to me very carefully. I believe there's four or five crowns that we as Christians can earn. There is a crown the Bible talks about for soul winning. Now, it does not use the actual term soul winning, just so you know, all right? Don't criticize me, you theologians, all right? But those are people who faithfully go soul winning. By the way, heard it mistaught. Well, each person you win to Christ, you get another crown. No. You earn the crown of soul winning by building a kingdom of soul winning around you. Did you catch that? I believe there's people in this room, you've been going soul winning a while, you haven't won your first person to Christ yet, but you're earning the crown of soul winning because you're faithful in obeying God in your soul winning. You are building around you a kingdom of soul winning. Guess what? There are people that see people saved that don't go out with the church on soul winning. Can those people get saved? Yes. Say what? Because after a while, soul winning becomes more than just 6:30 on Tuesday night, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's 6 in the morning when you're at Sheets getting a cup of coffee. It's 10 o'clock at night at the gas station when you're filling up on your way home after a really long day. Everybody doing okay? When soul winning becomes part of your life and it rules in your life and it's a kingdom that you've built around you, you are then earning that kingliness, that royalty of soul winning. Listen to this. And you've earned that crown. Guess what? Now God is king of your soul winning. I don't mean this the wrong way. I'm glad for you to show up once or once in a while. But if you'll build a kingdom around you called soul winning, you will earn a crown to cast at the Savior's feet because you have built that kingdom of soul winning around you. Boy, that's a good statement. I believe there's a crown of suffering. The Bible talks about a crown of suffering. Now, please don't crucify me. But I find nowhere in Scripture that that means just because, I'll use my own pain right now, just because you have arthritis doesn't mean you get the crown of suffering. Just because you have a physical ailment does not give you a crown of suffering. Say why? Those ailments are caused by sin. Your body degenerating and the diseases in it are caused by sin. This crown of suffering goes all the way back to the book of Matthew, where it talks about those that suffer for righteousness' sake. Everybody doing okay? That means this. When you conquer your fleshly emotions and stand for right, you are earning a crown of righteousness. You are earning a crown for suffering. Hey, I have had to separate from certain preachers and certain churches because they have changed on the Word of God. Guess what? Amen. So be it. I've suffered the loss of friendship over doctrine. Some of you have suffered the losing of friends for standing for right. Can I say something? That's okay. Keep suffering. God is pleased and you're earning a crown for suffering. Everybody doing all right? Sometimes you have to even, and I don't mean this the wrong way, you have to put your own emotions aside and sometimes even stand against your family. Every person in this room, if you've been saved very long and started living for the Lord, you have had to, in some ways, suffer persecution by your family. What in the world are you doing that for? You mean you're going to go back to church on Sunday night? Yep. Hey, holidays are coming. Some people will stay home to entertain family versus coming to church. If I have family come to my house, I tell them Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we're going to church. You can stay at the house if you want, but I'm going to church, like it or lump it. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. The Bible talks about a crown of faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. If you only show up to church on Sunday mornings or every once in a while, why would God give you a crown? I believe God gives a crown of faithfulness. I believe God gives a crown of faithfulness to marriage. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone who's been divorced. But let me say this, be faithful to the one you've got. I was talking with Brother Lowther this week, and Friday night I took my wife out. It was 27 years ago this last Friday, my wife and I had our first date. We were laughing about all the things that have taken place in 27 years. Let me tell you, there had been a lot of miles. I wasn't near as afraid 27 years later as I was 27 years ago. But I was telling Brother Jerry that, and he said, yeah, he said, we've been married 25, 26 years. And he said, my wife and I still feel like we're just newlyweds. I said, I am. I said, my mom and dad have been married for almost 53 years. This February be 53 years. I've got a couple aunts and uncles that have been married 55, 56 years. I got another uncle and aunt probably 48 to 50 years. I had grandparents that were married 65 years. 50 years. I said, I'm a newbie. I'm a novice. I got a brother that's been married over 30 years. I said, man, I'm the new kid on the block. Can I tell you something? Thank God for that. You say, what is it? I believe that those that are saved in their marriage can get that crown of faithfulness. Boy, that's a good statement. I have a dear friend. She's been my friend. Good night. Probably close to 35 years. She's been here. She was sang at my wife and I's wedding. She and her husband have been here. I was texting Jeannie this week and I said, thanks for being my friend for so long. Probably the longest standing friend I have. Almost 35 years. My dad's got a friend that they've been friends 72, 73 years, 74 years. Yeah, they were in the nursery together. They were hatched under the same cow pat. I mean, they were adjoining farms just about. And good night. Rich and my dad have been friends forever. Can you imagine having a friend for 74 years? Whew. That's what you call a crown of faithfulness. Put up with my dad that long. now, wait a minute. The Bible also talks about a crown of separation. You know, I believe that when you live by that Bible right there, and you're not afraid of what other people say, God gives you a crown for that. You don't succumb to the world's pressure. You don't succumb to what the world says is acceptable. I don't care what churches change. Guess what? God's standard is the important one, not what other churches say. I don't care what the world says is acceptable as entertainment. Doesn't matter what a church says. What does God say? How about your music? Just because you put quote unquote God's name to a rock beat doesn't make it right music. Folks, you have a crown of soul winning, a crown of suffering, a crown of faithfulness, a crown of separation, and I'm going to stop there for right now. But listen to this. Number three, Jesus is only your Lord once you become a Lord. He says he is Lord of Lords. Now, everybody look at me. Let me teach you something. The word Lord means ruler, master, or one who holds great power over another. You say, well, how do I become a lord? You have to lord yourself. You have to have great power over yourself. Let me ask you a question. Now, don't get mad at me. until you become a lord by letting the Holy Spirit control you versus you controlling you, how can he be your lord? Not only does he say you can become a lord, but he gives you the Holy Spirit of God to help you become a lord once you get saved. That's why you can't make him lord to get saved. Let me show you what I mean. You say, well, I just have a quick temper. Your temper is no quicker than anybody else's. I've got a short fuse. Your fuse is no shorter than anybody else's. You say, you don't know my temper. You don't know my temper. Do you know there are times I refuse to call someone back because they've ticked me off? And until I have let the Holy Spirit control me and I start lording my temper, I don't call them back so I don't say something I should not say. I didn't say I don't call them back. I don't react because that's what my flesh wants to do. I don't respond in the flesh. I had a business person this week that I was not going to be real friendly with because they were trying to jerk the church around. Say, what did you do? I told my secretary, at such and such time, try to get them on the phone. It was a couple hours away. You say, why? Because I needed those couple hours to calm myself down so I did not say some things that a preacher should not say. Say why? I had to lord me. I had to allow the Holy Spirit to work on me to say the things that God wanted said, not what my flesh wanted to say. Everybody doing okay? After I got that in control, I said, okay, go ahead and make the call. You see, hang in there. The charismatics call it self-control. Joel Osteen will call it self-control. The bad version Bibles call it self-control. Can I tell you something? Self-control is humanism. It's not spiritual. It is submitting to the Holy Spirit of God, to the Word of God, over yourself, letting the Word of God and the Spirit of God dominate you, and you lord your flesh by the Spirit. Do you know there are times, I know maybe not in your life, but in my life, that my wife and I didn't see things the same way? I know that shocked you. Do you know that men and women look at life far differently? I'm going to teach you a great truth here. You know, just because my wife doesn't see what I see doesn't mean she's a bad person. There are times I'm supposed to listen to her too. Say when? When she tells me what to do. No. you know, there are times I'm supposed to listen to her. I am supposed to be yielded to the Holy Spirit enough to where my pride doesn't flash up and say, I'm boss here. You're going to listen to me, woman. You're an idiot. If you have to pound your fist and beat your chest to say you're the man, guess what? You're not. So I told her off. Yeah, but she was trying to coax you out from under the bed. You wouldn't say that to her face to face. Can I tell you something? Don't expect Jesus to have power over you if you don't have power over you. Oh, make him Lord of your life, but you have no control over your life. Did you ever note? Hang on. Some of you are going to get real mad. Here we go. Did you ever notice those charismatic churches, the immorality that goes on with them? It's all fleshly. It's all emotional. Oh, I got it, I got it, I got it. I felt it. Did you ever notice how they live? Everything is all emotion. You say, why? Because it's not the Holy Spirit controlling them. It's their emotions controlling them.
Hello.
Now hang in there. I'm going somewhere. You knew this one was coming. If you don't tithe, how can you expect God to help you financially? If you won't lord your finances, how can He be Lord of your finances? That's why God says, if you'll do what He says in obedience to tithing, watch this, when you lord yourself, He says, I'll pour out a blessing on you and I will withhold the destroyer. When you start lording yourself, I'll be the Lord of a Lord and I can give you things you never saw possible. But until then, I have to curse you to get you to that point. Now, that doesn't mean cursing like some of you do. Hang on. If you can't control your emotions and your desires, and if you can't teach your children to control their emotions and their desires, what right do you have to ask God to control your children? God, I've done all I can do. Now you take them. Well, that's true to a certain point, but just because they're running around like a hellion doesn't mean it's God's fault. Time to lord your children. My kids know a certain word. All three of them. I have a 23-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 16-year-old. Couldn't remember how old she was. I was thinking really fast. My children know a certain word. Yeah. My mom's back there laughing at me because first time she ever heard me do this, she said, what was that? I said, trust me, it'll work. Say, what is that? It means you better listen or you're about to get your head slapped off. No lie. My son was getting married this July. He was across the parking lot, a couple of his friends, this, that, and the other thing. I just wanted to see if it would still work. 22, 23 years old. About to get married. Bunch of people around. I went, yeah. My other son was near. I watched two heads go like this. Nobody else did anything, but those two heads were snapping. I just looked at him and grinned. He went. He said, Dad, why'd you do that? I said, just want to make sure you're still listening. Just want to make sure you're still listening. We're training a new puppy. God, have mercy. You learn two words with a new puppy. Soggy socks. No. It's better than muddy socks, all right? But the other day, she was about to go into the kitchen. And there's two places I have will not let a dog in my house, my kitchen and my bedroom. You say, why? Because that's where I don't want a dog, all right? You can have them. That's fine. I don't want mine in my kitchen, and I don't want one in my bedroom. You say, it's going to keep your feet warm. I don't need a dog to keep my feet warm. I got married. I don't need a dog. I don't need that. Her feet are cold, but she'll put them up against me and warm hers up. I don't need a dog warming her feet up. Amen? Now, wait a minute. That dog started to go into the kitchen. I was sitting in the living room. I went, yeah, Ginger. That dog went like this, and she come all the way back. I said, it's learning. It knows what that word yeah means, amen? It means I'm Lord. Get back here. Boom! You go back to the book of Genesis. Abraham told Sarah what to do. And she called him what? Lord. He was ruling his home, and she said, he's acting like a lord. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of Israel. So, number four, and I'm almost done. He is not your king until you become a king. Let me review and we'll go forward. God's first will for your life is for you to let him be your savior. There are several crowns available to the saved. And Jesus is only your Lord when you become a Lord. When you start lording your life, when you start allowing the Holy Spirit to control you and not your flesh. When you start reacting in the spirit and not the flesh. When your husband says to do something and you don't want to, and instead of nagging at him, you say, okay. You have allowed yourself to be lorded by even the Holy Spirit of God, and God can then become your Lord. Now watch this. He is not your king until you become a king. You need to build a kingdom of soul winning around you. This is not for the occasional goer. This is for the one who doesn't just go soul winning, but soul winning becomes part of your life. Do you know, I have times where I go soul winning, but I am a soul winner. It's always there. It's kind of like Grandma Bush's coffee pot. It didn't matter what time of day you were at Grandma Bush's, the coffee pot was on. That coffee could have been 2 days old, but there was coffee in the pot. And if it wasn't in the pot, it was being perked, amen? And that's the old days, I understand. But it didn't matter. That old chrome coffee pot with the long spout on it was always hot and always had coffee in it. Now, it was thick enough sometimes when you poured it, you had to cut it with a pair of scissors. And you ain't never drank strong coffee till you drank Grandma and Grandpa's coffee. Whoo, buddy. What is that stuff they put in? Chicory. Lord have mercy. If you've never had chicory coffee, wow. You can drink a cup of that and spit brown for 2 days. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. It's not a crown for each person you win. It's a crown for building a kingdom of soul winning around you. You know, it's been my privilege to train hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to go soul winning. I have trained I don't know how many people to be soul winners. You know, I have built, and I don't mean this to lift me up. There are people that have done far more. But God has allowed me to see thousands and thousands of people saved. Can I tell you something? I have built around me a kingdom of soul winning. And not only the ones I've seen, but countless thousands of others that the hundreds and maybe even thousands of people I have trained have gone out and won people to Christ. Can I tell you something? That's called building a kingdom around you of soul winning. Crown of suffering. Yes, you suffer persecution for standing for him. But may I say this, just because you suffer persecution, and by the way, have you noticed Christians are hated nowadays? Seems like everybody but Christians are accepted these days. We were working on trying to get a loan for our van. Brother Mark, you were standing right beside me. The dealer said, well, don't go to a certain bank. They told us if it's a church, don't even send them our way. We don't want to talk to a church. Hello. Say, what'd you do? We paid cash for the van. We'll pay ourselves back. I don't need their money. Even our own bank wanted us to move our money, put it into another account, and pay interest on our own money. Forget you. We'll pay interest to ourselves. Say why? They hate churches nowadays. Plain and simple. Now wait a minute. Crown of separation. You conquer your flesh and live by God's plan, and you're going to have to conquer your flesh. My daughter was hosting at a local restaurant she's got a job at. And just, was it yesterday? Or the day before, she was taking somebody to their table. And of course, my daughter dresses like a lady at all times. And the guy very smugly said, they're making you wear skirts nowadays? She said, no, sir. This is my preference. This is what I've chosen to do. I was very proud of her for that response. And this guy with a very snippy attitude says, and a political statement to go with it, huh? Now, she did not say she lorded herself what she was thinking. She told me later, Daddy, do you know what I wanted to say? I said, if you point him out, I'll go say it for you. And a few things you're not thinking of right now, I'll say. That's what I wanted to do. Who would have ever thought we would come to America in a time in America where a young lady wearing a skirt becomes a political statement? I guess if Hillary is your Lord, I could understand that. Help us, Jesus. You know, you don't separate in order for people to look at you and say, look at me. You separate in order to be right with your God and be closer to your God. You put those things away from you so that cause division between you and your God. It's not a matter of, look at me. Oh, no. People that say, look at me, are not separated. They're just putting on a show. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is He your Savior? If He's not become your Savior, He cannot become anything else. Because every other relationship you have with God hinges on Him being your Savior. Let me ask you a question. Are you lording your life? What area of life do you have no control in? Your temper, your tongue, your telling the truth. Oh, I've got this bad habit. I just can't give up my cigarettes, or I just can't give up this. It's time to lord yourself. It's time to lord yourself. Everybody doing okay? He isn't the Lord of followers. He is the Lord of lords. And until you're willing to lead yourself by the Holy Spirit of God, He cannot be your Lord. And until you get saved, you can't do any of it. Let me ask you a question. Is He your King? Hey, will you have the crown of faithfulness to throw at His feet? And I'm not trying to be unkind. And I realize it doesn't matter when I say this. I'm going to make somebody feel like I'm talking to you. I'm not. I'm talking to everybody, including myself. But the person that shows up just on Sunday morning, is that a crown of faithfulness? You read your Bible every once in a while. Is that a crown of faithfulness? You only pray when you're in trouble. That's a crown of faithfulness. That person that only prays when they're in trouble. Oh, God! And then they get mad at God because He doesn't answer the way they want. Hello. Let me ask you a question. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? I didn't say, did you make Him Lord to be your Savior? You can't do that. It's impossible. Well, I've done all the things that I should for Him to be my Lord. No, not unless you're saved. You can't make Him Lord without Him being your Savior. And by the way, He's already Lord of Lords. It's not a matter of you making Him Lord. It's a matter of you lording your own life by the Holy Spirit of God controlling you and not your flesh. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to have any crowns to throw at His feet? Have you become royalty as a Christian? Have you decided to live like royalty rather than just floating through life as a subject? Savior, Lord, and King. He already is all three. What is He to you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I don't have any doubt at all. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and be honest? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven? I've never made Jesus the Savior of my life. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I've learned something. I've not been lording my life like I should. I've not been living like the royalty I need to so that I can earn crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. There's some things in my life that need to change. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands up everywhere. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you need to come to this altar, you come. You won't be alone. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. We can take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join this church. We can take care of that today. But the most important thing is, what's your relationship with your God?